Our scripture reading this morning is from the marvelous chapter of Isaiah, chapter 40. We'll read the entire chapter in your bulletin. It says the text is verse 9 to 31, but as that is the text, we'll just make it verse 1 to the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 40, which Isaiah consists of 66 books, and the whole Bible consists of 66 books. The Old Testament consists of 39 books, and the New Testament consists of 27 books. And so the 40th book in the Bible is the first book of the New Testament. And if you look at Isaiah, you see that same pattern. It seems to be that from chapter 40 to 66, the last 27 chapters of Isaiah seems to be just like a fifth gospel. And so it's often called the fifth gospel or the Old Testament gospel. And you will see why as I begin to read it. Now, as I read it, I know that a lot of people remember the 40th chapter, the majestic vision of God. But see where this is placed in and why this is written in the chapter, in Isaiah chapter 40. So try to, as I read it, follow the line of thought of God through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Her sins have been paid. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news, or New Testament terms of a gospel. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked of the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust of the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compares with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver change. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the world? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted and scarcely are sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created this? Who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might? And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my might is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young man shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is enough. This word that you just rang in our ears, it's enough. It should be enough for all the world to come to its knees and to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we are a people slow of hearing and dull of heart. And therefore, Father, quicken our heart that we might understand it. Open our ears that we might hear it. And that we might be like those who wait upon the Lord, whose strength is renewed, so that we might live by the power of God in 2021. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, anxiety, uncertainty and worry about our well-being in this world come to all of us at different times and in different measures. These pressures upon our hearts are produced by the difficulties we face and by our inability to see where all the things that come before us will lead to. And I think for many of us, 2021 doesn't start with, what are we going to do this year? But it starts with the aftermath of 2020 and the uncertainty of what will happen in 2021. How do we face 2021? We don't know the end of our hardships, and our inability to control or predict them drives us to fear the worst. How can we face hardships like the pandemic, or cancer, or unemployment, or oppression, or even years of struggles at our work, in our family, or at our homes? How can we walk and face them? One way is to just hope for the best. Best wishes for 2021. I hope it will go well with you. We kind of hear it in one ear and the other ear, and the only thing it reminds me is that that person wishes me the best, but it doesn't do anything. But that is, it's a far too shallow response for the weight that life brings to our doors. We know all too well that not everything will go as we planned. Difficulty will come, tears will flow, hearts will be broken. The only way to truly live life with joy in the midst of our hardships and our problems, the only way that we can live in this life with a big smile on our face, no matter what happens, is when our problems become small, and our strength becomes great, right? Because if there is in your path in the morning in your driveway, there is a little tiny pebble in front of your door, and you have to step over the pebble, what is it like? You just step over it. But if there's an enormous rock in front of your door, you feel like you can't get out and you're going to die within your home and you're not able to get out. So how do our problems become small? Well, what I'm saying is not that we should just look at our problems and say they're not a big deal. It's not just living in some kind of fantasies world and say, well, the hardships and the pain in this world, they're really nothing. Because they're real. And they're hard. And they're difficult. And there is, in this world, especially if you consider the world under the sun, there's a lot of pain and obstacles that will slow us down and crush us to pieces and make us not want to live in 2021. But what I'm saying is that our problems and hardships should actually become small in perspective. If you and I could somehow see that our hardships and problems were small in 2021 by the amount of strength that we have, then we can smile. If we would know guaranteed today that our problems and hardships are manageable and overcomable that we will be able to walk through them with joy in our heart, then we can say, may the Lord bless 2021 as we give Him praise. And this is the message of Isaiah chapter 40. This enormous vision of the greatness of God is not there for us to then run and hide under a rock, but to look to Him and see the immenseness of the power of God, and in light of that, our problems and our hardships. Israel in Isaiah 40 is afraid of her hardship in this world, her sin before God, and the judgment that she deserves. And so God sends a messenger that says this, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. Listen to that. If you have anxiety, worry, or fear, what lies ahead, it is God who speaks to our ear, comfort, comfort my people. I want you to be comforted, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then in verse 9, God sends a herald, a messenger up to a high mountain so that all the people can see and hear him. And this herald of good news is to cry the words with a loud voice, behold your God. Look. Don't look to me. Look to God. Look to him who sits above the earth. Look to him who sees you. Look to him. Open your eyes, my friends. When 2021 is at your door and you're thinking, as I think is wise, to consider what's ahead in 2021, look at it and then look up and see God over every day, every hour, every minute, every second, over every circumstance, over every hardship. Look at your God. Behold your God. Here is why. When you look at your problems and hardships, they are overwhelming. They are. Your pain is real. Your anxiety is justified if you look at your strength and the things that lie before you. Depression and hardship and pain and cancer and trouble and hardship with children and grandchildren, spouses and parents and grandparents, and all of that is hard. But you don't end there. You look at them, and because they're so close to you, they seem enormous. But then you push them to the side and you look up to God and you realize that God is so powerful that your hardships become tiny, manageable, because now you can see that God stands with you, that He carries you. You know, you didn't take a single step. If you're walking with Christ, you really didn't take a single step yourself in 2020. It's God who carried you through. I love that picture, and it's used so often that it becomes a little small and just kind of cute for on carts, but when you see these footsteps on the beach, right? And you see these two sets of footsteps and you think, well, there we are with God. But then I see in my hardships, I remember that was a difficult path in my life. Why there's only one set of footsteps? God, where were you? And then the voice comes, well, look more carefully. It's the big footsteps that remain. I carried you through that. I lifted you up when you couldn't walk. Now that's a little small picture because I have no idea how small our footsteps would look compared to God's feet footsteps. Right? You wouldn't even see the little footsteps of us because His presence is so great and so marvelous that He walks with us through this life, that He really carries us through. You know, if we ever reach the ground, it's by little bits of our feet because He helps and carries us through all of this life. And so when you see God, when you behold your God, then your problems will be small. And I think the problems with most of us is that we have a small God. We have a small God who is sitting somewhere beyond the stars, trying to find a way to look through all the planets and look down to us upon this earth. And if He looks very carefully, He can see us. And so when we call Him, we got to bring so many prayers that they're kind of like the beams of light that are pressed for years and years. And they finally reach God's throne. And then He's just reminded that we're still alive. But it's 5 years later, 10 years later, that He's actually heard them or begins to work. But then we remember the passage in the New Testament where Paul writes that all of existence is in God. God is here. God is everywhere. He is not somewhere beyond the stars, beyond the sky, somewhere high up in the heavens where we can't see Him. He is everywhere. He holds all things in His hand, and He is here right this morning, as well as He is in Asia, and in Russia, and in Africa, and in South America, and in every part of the world. At the same time, with His mind fully focused upon every human being on the earth. The Bible says, in another passage, that God's eyes go through and through over all the earth seeking. It doesn't mean that God runs all day long trying to find somebody. It means it gives us this picture that He is everywhere at the same time, looking to whom He may show Himself strong, but also, if I may add, watching over His people and saying, behold your God. And so this morning I want to look with you at the following points. The big problems that scare our world today. The greatness of God that dwarfs every problem, and looking to God throughout 2021, or captivated by God in 2021. Let us begin with the big problems that scare the world, because I think we should face them before we look to God. Because if we do it the other way around, we forget God and we look at our problems again. So let's face them together. Let's begin honestly by seeing the realities that lie before us. What are the problems before us? Well, I think undoubtedly health concerns rank near the top. We face worries in this country about COVID-19, our health, or the health of our loved ones. Many face worries about other health issues. Cancer, kidney problems, eyesight problems, hearing problems, slipping away of our mind, anxiety that we'll be losing our mind or that we're losing control of life. Others face exhaustion, sleepless night, and a host of other pains. And if I were to just mention the pains in our congregation here, I think I could fill 45 minutes quite easily. On top of that, there are the mental hardships, the hardships of the mind. We carry the burdens of our family. We carry the cares upon our heart of the things around us, the people around us. We carry the burdens, the cares of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We carry our own insecurity, our own failures of what we could have done better or well we failed or what we've done wrong. We carry our dissatisfaction with ourselves to some degree or another. Many in our day deal with depression, anxiety, or constant fear. But I think a close second to all of this is the anxiety and worry for financial cares. The onslaught of trying to make ends meet. We don't know what the economic effects of the crisis will be. We have a government whose debts is at a record high. Many companies face bankruptcy. We don't know the security of our own jobs or our retirements, and some don't even know where the next meal comes from. It's very likely that the real blow upon America of COVID-19 lands in 2021, where we begin to calculate the cost and the hardships that follow, both financially, mentally, and even spiritually. A third source of worry is our social and political climate. The country seems to be split in two sides, if not splintered in many more, which can't bear to see or talk to each other. The country is divided in racial tensions, economical tensions, age segments that seem to escalate more and more, and it seems to come to an explosion more and more every year. Love has grown cold in our land, and hatred has waxed hot. And so, the elderly sit isolated in their rooms, away from the family and the children and grandchildren that they love. Parents and grandparents are overcome with anxiety about their children and grandchildren's futures. Children are confused about all the changes that they face as they're separated in their classrooms or separated from their children as they face the pressures of their little lives. Our loved ones are far away, and suddenly we feel how a big part of the joy of life is having our loved ones near, and some people are just dying for a hug, or even just seeing someone's face, or just hearing the words, not over the phone, but just from ear to ear. As people in medical facilities all over the country have to deal constantly with no friends and no family around, and their nurses who seek to help them must be covered up in all kinds of clothes to keep them healthy, and as they feel that there is no social interaction, or at the very minimum, they feel that they're wasted away in where they live. And then business owners see the work of decades fall apart as they don't know what will be the last day of them being business owners. Marriages are placed under increasing pressure as businesses fail and as tensions and hardships places all their difficulties to a head. Singles walk in isolation with no one to talk to as they feel isolated and alone on this world. The elderly struggle with boredom and the thought of dying alone or dying soon as the whole world and every human interaction becomes a threat of death. 2021 does not start with much happy and cheer for many of us this year. And that's real. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. But it's real. Many see no reason to live as they feel drowned in worries and cares. A new year is coming, but how will we get through it? How will we live with our worries and cares? Beloved, we must realize that our worries and cares are real. The pain is real. The anxiety is real. We feel the pain of loss, missing those who have gone before us. We feel the pain of illness in our family, the constant onslaught of difficult news for ourselves and the people we love so dearly. We feel the anxiety of the future and what it may bring. Our life on this horizontal plane is not easy, so much so that even in my own life, I'm sometimes afraid what name will be displayed upon my phone, and if it's another person in our congregation who has fallen ill, who has died. But that's not life. Or at least, that's not the totality of life. Those are our problems, and when we place them before us, they drown us with fear as we feel the insecurity and the incapability for us to carry all these burdens at once. But we're not supposed to carry these burdens. These are not our burdens. We must not stay there, but we must remember that there is a way to live life without anxiety, fear, and stress. For God comes to us in these words, in Isaiah 40, verse 10 to 11. Behold, you know what that means? Open your eyes and ears. Forget the rest. Listen to this for a change. Behold, the Lord comes with might. The Lord comes His arms stretched out and his muscles full of strength. His heart full of love. That's what it means. He comes with might, with power. And his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him. As he carries his strength, he is carrying the rewards that this world has never seen. That no year in all of history, every golden age of any nation, if it was cleansed of all its sin and in all its badness, all of that goodness is like a speck of dust compared to the reward that God brings with him. And his recompense before him, he will tend his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This, my friend, is the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says in the Gospel of John, I am the good shepherd, and no one will snatch my people out of my hands. And so here we have in the midst, as we remind it ourselves of all the hardships, suddenly God comes in and shines the light and says, I am your shepherd. All you have to do in this life is just follow me, and I will lead you gently. I heard a story once of an adopted little boy, and he came out of a home that wasn't able to care for him, and the parents that adopted him at first would put all the pressures on this little boy that they carried. And then he came to this other family, and as they sat in the car home, the boy started talking about all the little things in the car. And he says, Papa, I can call you Papa now, right? Sure. Why, shouldn't you go to the gas station? I think your gas is running low. How about that little pointer there? The engine, isn't it getting too hot? And how about the cars there? Do you see those cars? And the father looked back and he stopped the car and he says, my son, I don't want you to worry about any of these things. You just be happy and be a little boy. Because you're worrying about dad's cares. I'm your father. I'm the one driving the car. I'll put gas in it. I'll keep my eyes on all the clocks. I'll keep my eyes on all these things in the car. I'll make sure that I'll drive past the cars and not against them. I'll keep you safe. And you just smile with your other brothers and sisters in the back and play games. Stop worrying. That's what God says to us. We feel the anxiety of keeping our eyes upon everything in life and keeping every clock in check and making sure everything. And God says, yes, you live your life, but you cast your cares upon me. Strong man this morning, you who feel that because you're a man, you need to carry all the anxiety of this world upon your shoulders. You're like the little boy in the back that can just rejoice in the day that the Lord has made as he carries you through. He's the shepherd. You're the sheep. If you want to carry that care, God will stop the car, put his arms around you and says, listen, little boy, give your cares to me and your anxieties to me. Now, mothers, sisters in Christ, I know that you carry all the anxiety in your own heart and you feel that as a mother, that's just the way it is. You carry this burden upon your heart and it squeezes out because your heart becomes so big, it squeezes out all the air of your lungs that you can barely breathe as you carry all the cares of everybody at home and your friends and your work and everything else upon your own. And God says, don't you remember that I'm your shepherd? Don't you remember that I said, cast your cares and your burdens upon me? Yes, you have responsibilities and you do your best you can and then you leave it to me. Cast them upon me. Don't give it to the Lord. You know what the danger is with giving your cares to the Lord? And I think we do this. We go in prayer and we say, God, I give it to you. And then until the end of your prayer, you're just holding it in your hand and you say you give it to you, but as soon as you say amen, you pull it back and you put it back in your own heart. But God says, cast your cares upon the Lord. It's got to leave your hands. You got to leave it to God and let him carry the burdens. That's what he says. It's almost too simplistic, isn't it? You know why? because he leads us gently. He is a shepherd who says, come with me, walk with me. He doesn't say, you did something wrong, bang. What he does is this, when you walk away from my fold, I'm going to put all my sheep safely in the pen, and then I'm going to find you. And so you just stay, follow, keep your eyes on me and follow me. That's 2021 for you. That's the plan. That's God's plan, following our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have heard this before and still be drowned in your cares. For just knowing that God has the intention to help you is not enough. We must behold our God. Do you behold your God when you read your Bible? When you pray, do you behold your God? And not as someone who is just amazing there somewhere far, but behold your God, the one who cares for you, so that you have ever greater confidence to leave your cares in his hands. Beloved, we must behold our God and see his greatness, to see how his greatness dwarfs our problems. And therefore, my dear friends, at the beginning of 2021, let us open our eyes to behold our God. And now it's time to get out the fire hose and be overwhelmed by the glories of the Word of God as he describes it to us. And he does so in question and answer. Isaiah 40, verse 12, asks questions. It goes like this. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands? Aislinn, let me put you on the spot as you're nice and close. Can you show me the hollow of your hand? Do you know what that is? Can you show me your hand? You know this spot here when you put your hand like that? Have you ever put some water in there? Have you ever done that? I have too. I still do it sometimes because it's just cool to watch. Right now, if you have water, do you think that we can put Lake Michigan in there? No? How about the ocean? Are you sure? Do you want to try? How about one bucket of water? Can you put one bucket of water in the hollow of your hand? Absolutely not. You see what it says here? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? It doesn't say some water, it says all the waters. Who has measured all the oceans, all the lakes, all the ponds, even your little pond in the backyard that you have, all the waters in all the earth, and if there's waters in all of the universe, which we have, if we might ever discover, more water in the universe, all of that put together, and he's like, oh yeah. Now I know what it looks like. Can you imagine the size of God's hand? That's big, isn't it? Can you imagine somebody coming out at your door and says, here's Lake Michigan, you want to see it? You'd have to get an airplane just to land on his hand, right? It'd be so high and so great and so marvelous. His hands, my dear friends, are mighty to save. His hands, if he can measure the waters in the earth and you can swim in them for your whole life and never have touched every drop, not by a long stretch, then he can take care of your difficulties. And then it goes on. It's almost ironic, right? But I love that we have at least Ace, and I could put her on the spot here, because you got to see this through kids' eyes. And not just, okay, that's big. You got to see this. Who has marked off the heavens with a span? Now, a span is the distance between your pinky and thumb, right? That's a span. And it says here, who has marked off the heavens with a span? Now, the heavens in the Bible, there's three heavens, right? And but the heavens that he speaks about here are the created heavens. The heavens, the one heavens is the heavens you see, right? The sky. And then the second heaven is the heavens of the universe. So he says, how much can you measure with that? Can you measure your own forehead with that? That's about it, right? But God measures between his pinky and his thumb, the entire universe lies within there. If you think you have big hands, think again. You have tiny little hands. Compared to God's hand, your hands would be practically invisible. God measures the universe between his pinky and his thumb. That's the hand that is stretched out to stand by your side. Are you getting a feeling of how small your problems and your cares become? If you've ever flown in an airplane and you land, before you can't even see people walking, but at least when you land and you come through the clouds, you see these little cars driving, and they're not even toy cars. That's when you're really, if you see them as toy cars and you fly like that for a while, you get a crash landing on your hands. But if you see them as little ants just going around their way and they're little, and a traffic jam is suddenly like a little, that's a small idea of how big God is. Because that's just a little spot of earth and we become small. Now you are that little speck of dust and a little speck of a planet, as a brother prayed this morning. And God's hands are there to stand by your side. And then he says, and who has enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance? It says, as a child puts sand in a skill and plays with it, so pick up all the sand, all the mountains, and all the hills, and puts it in a little skill. Okay, I'm done. Let me put it back. That's God. That's his strength. I'm guessing the strongest man here could carry what with his hands? Maybe 200 pounds, 300 pounds, 400 pounds, if you're really strong. If you want to carry sand, that's not even a hill. That's just a little pile of sand. Whether you get sand here in cubic feet or cubic tons or whatever it is, you have to build cars and loads just to get a little hill of sand that looks like that's not even visible from any real height but by an airplane. But God carries all of them in a skill, puts them in there, thinks, okay, let me put it back, weighs it and says, it's about this heavy. That's the strength, the sheer might of God. Nothing is heavy for God. Your worries and your cares do not wear God down. He is able to carry your burdens and still be full of joy and strength and fill you with joy as he makes you look upon his majesty. No one, and then he goes on, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, or who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him in the way of understanding? What this means is this. Whatever you know, if you have understood a word of what I've said, it's because you've learned it from someone else. As soon as a child opens their eyes, they begin to learn. Even in the womb, because that's real life, the child learns, right? That's why it can begin to move its arms and move its leg. It can feel emotions and responses as it's in the womb. But then when you're born and continue your life while being out of the womb, then you learn more and more and more. And so everything we know, even the greatest scientist, only what he did in the beginning, he would fill his diaper, fall asleep, and burp. The greatest, Einstein was dependent upon his mother to get his burpees out because otherwise he'd be crying all day. But God has never learned something new. He is the source. And it makes it impersonal, but it's really the only way I can say it. He is the source of all knowledge. He knows all things, everything at the same time. You think you know what I look like. But you only see the outside of my skin. You have no idea, apart from guessing what I kind of look like on the inside. God knows every centiliter of blood in my body. He knows the very hairs upon my head. He has counted them all. He knows every cell, every string of DNA, every part of my body in perfect completion, and all of it at all time in my life, in history, in the present and in the future. He knows where every speck of dust has traveled throughout all the universe, that it has become food and then energy and then be cast out again and then be taken up and become food again. He has seen that. He knows all of that at the same time, effortlessly. It's a hard word. He knows all things. And so he knows your cares. He can deal with your hardship. Because he knows your pain. He is never wondering what we're thinking. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He feels our pain. He knows our pain before we feel it. Do you get a picture of who God is? Or at least a little shadow of a shadow of a shadow of who God really is? Behold your God who knows you. You get a whole new meaning after you understand a little bit more of his understanding. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for a few, nor are the beasts enough for a burnt offering. In other words, God is so great, there's nothing we can bring to him that would be an acceptable sacrifice if we wanted to do it on our own strength, because it all belongs to him. All the nations are as nothing before him. They're accounted as by him as less than nothing and emptiness. All your problems are in this world, right? They're the people in this world, the circumstances in this world, and all of those people that interact with you, or the hardships that come before you, or the people that oppress you or come against you, all of those are like a little part of a drop in a bucket. If God does this, the nations fly away into all eternity and existence. And so, my dear friends, your problems are a small part of a small drop and a small part of that. And so don't feel like you're going to wear God down with your worries and cares. He can handle it. It's almost like when a little kid has a little piece of Lego. I think most of you were in the time where Lego already existed, right? You know what Lego is, where you have little blocks and you build it. And this little boy plays with it, and then the wheel comes off the car. But it's Lego. You know how it works. What do? You put it back on, right? That's our greatest worry and care in God's sight. For us, the little boy looks at it and he falls apart and he's crying. He says, my beautiful car, it's broken. It's never going to work again. It's completely destroyed. It will never work. And then Daddy the superhero walks in. He picks up with his mighty arm the wheel, and then with his other mighty arm he holds the block. He puts it back together, and suddenly it's fixed again. How is it even possible? It's a miracle. This is amazing. Papa, how? Oh, and they give a hug, and you know, it's like a feast, and they do a little dance, and they walk around with the car. That's God in us. We're like the little boy. When things come before us, our cares look great and mighty and insurpassable. And God says, you walk in this earth for a few little years, and then you're going to be forever with me. Cast your burdens upon me. Even the greatest pain is temporary. Even the greatest hardship is but a moment. And then you'll forever be with me. So don't let your joy be stolen away. Walk and look with me. You're like that little boy. And I know, he says, I know your pain and your hardships, and I know the anxiety, but don't let it drown you out. And don't let it dry you up. Look to me, because I love you, because I care about you more than you'll ever know. Because all of eternity, you'll be searching out the depths of my love. And after all of eternity, which never ends, but after a billion years of eternity, I'll congratulate you, because you have reached 1 inch deep from infinite distance of love. Question in 40, verse 18. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare him to? And this is silly, right, what he says. He's making a joke, right? Isaiah was making a joke. It's a serious joke in a way. But he's saying, well, how are you comparing me to the little idols? Are you looking at me like the gods of this world, where a man takes a little piece of silver or gold and makes a little statue? But then not everybody's rich, so other people make of wood, but it's wood that doesn't rot. Right? Because they want their gods to endure for a long time. So they take a little wood and carve it out, and it's very good wood, and then they kneel down before it and says, "You are my God, help me out." You look at God that way? I think sometimes we do. Because we look at God as though he's not able to help us in our hardships. As though he doesn't see us or doesn't know us, as our worries and cares drown out, and we think, oh no, God is just like that little statue. We just build and we stand before it, but now he can't help me. Now he doesn't see me anymore. My dear friends, God is not like that. This is what God is like. 40 verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Or in short, listen, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch it out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. God is the living God who sits upon the circle of the earth, and he sees all men and like little grasshoppers before him. He is in complete control. He stretches even their dwelling place. He holds the earth together. He keeps it in place where you walk on. He is the one who supports your very feet as you tread upon this earth. He holds it together. That's God. You know why I can walk here? You know why I can step down? Because God upholds the earth. That's what it says. Because God makes the earth to stand still and we dwell in it. God is so near that he upholds every part of this planet. And if he would stop for one moment, we'd all be falling apart and would fall into everlasting nothingness. God upholds the earth you stand on and sleep on. And walk on. He is here. And he is near. And then he continues. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. Who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. By his greatness of his might and because he is strong, of his strong in power, not one is missing. Lift up your eyes, my friend. It's God who sits above creation. He's the creator of all things. All life is in his hand. Don't live life like the sun is all there is. Look above the sun, where God rules the earth. All these worries and cares that I mentioned that are real, I all explained them as though God did not exist. But if I would explain them, I would have said this. The elderly are alone in their rooms, but they're not alone because God is with them. The sick feel worried about cares, but they don't have to worry about cares because God is in control. He knows all their breath, and they will not have one more or one less. The stress that comes upon you, you can carry because God is with you. The world is not spinning out of control. It is not in the hands of man to save it or destroy it. This is God's world, and he sits on his throne, and there is nothing any man can do against it. And this is the one who says, "Cast your cares upon me." Is there anything God cannot handle? Are not your cares small and light as a feather? Are not your greatest problem minute and small before God, and yet God takes out his magnifying glass and says, "I will be in it with you, and I'll walk through it with you." So don't be afraid for 2021. Take all your fears and cast them upon God. And then look upon God with delight, with joy. Marvel at his grace, because this is the one in all his majesty. He could create another million worlds if he wanted to, but he tells us, "But I want you, and I send my son to you to die for you, so that you might have life, so that all your sins might be laid upon my son, and that I might sacrifice him on the altar on Golgotha, so that you might become my son, sons of the living God, holy and beloved of God. Do you see what 2020 is, my dear friends? It is a life of walking upon this earth as the sons of God. Whether you're a brother or a sister, we're sons in Christ, sons of the living God, or sons and daughters of the living God. And so let us look throughout 2021, from verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. This day, let your strength be increased, my friends. Let God fill you with strength. You say, well, how do I get God's strength? Because knowing that he is there, it's not enough. I need to have his strength from him. I must be beholding God, captivated by his glory and his power and his strength. But he needs to strengthen me now. Well, that's the close of Isaiah 40. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So here you have a picture of an animal for this year. The eagle. Have you ever seen an eagle soar in the sky? Isn't that beautiful? Does he ever look exhausted to you? He is a picture of strength and balance and flight and comfort as he soars through the air, as he sees, as he feels the different winds that come and support him, as he goes from different air pressures and carries his wings and puts it in perfect place by God's wisdom. And he soars through the sky as he is carried by the wings and upon the wind, as he soars through the sky effortlessly, God carries him through. The Bible tells us by God's power through the Holy Spirit to us this morning that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall be like the eagles that is carried on the wind. So shall those who wait upon the Lord and expect their strength to come from the Lord be carried by the power of the Holy Spirit, which could be translated in the Old Testament and the New Testament as the Holy Wind. The one who has blown life into our lungs by which we have life is the one who brings the life of the light of God into this world by which we can live and soar over the hardships and the pain of this world if we wait upon the Lord. And therefore, my dear friends, waiting upon the Lord is not hard. It's not something, oh, now I need to be patient in my room until the Lord comes by. That's not what it speaks about. It speaks about beholding your God and waiting upon him. In other words, as you live through your life, you keep your eyes fixed upon God, and in every circumstance and hardship, you expect God, as you look upon him, to step in and help you through. It's not waiting for the doctor in the room and waiting till the door finally opens up. It's by looking at God continuously. That's Isaiah 40. Behold your God, wait upon him, for he is mighty in strength, and therefore be comforted in 2021. Because whatever lies before us, it won't keep us down. It won't crush us. If our eyes are fixed upon Christ, we will soar through it to the glory of God, and joy filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, for your love towards us, and your word towards us, that we can truly say, we behold our God as you look upon us. Father, help us to soar like the eagle, where the youths of this earth will grow weary and the young man fall in exhaustion because of this hard world. We mount up as on eagle's wings as our burdens are cast upon you, and we are lift up and fly by the power of Christ to walk through the hardships of our life, but not with the burdens, because they're cast upon you. So, Father, we praise you for this day. We thank you for the coming year. And we pray that we might bring this message to the multitudes, that you are a God of comfort. And even that which should make us to fear our own sin, even that we can cast upon you. And therefore, Lord, we thank you for this day. We praise you for this year. And we pray that you fill it with the captivation in our heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit, that we are such as we have never seen before, in greater splendor and greater glory. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.